The Silco Team Nation declared state of emergency in response of the COVID-19 pandemic. How are you feeling about having this declared?
I think it's a must. I think, you know, you see this pandemic happening all throughout the world. This isn't just our area. I think this is the new reality, that nightmare that we've woke up to, and we have to take this very serious. You know, our history is Indigenous peoples, you know, in dealing with such diseases hasn't been great. You know, smallpox just about wiped out our people. The Spanish flu in 1918 had took a lot of our members, and now we're facing this again. So, you know, we don't want the same thing to happen here. Our people are vulnerable. We have a lot of people with diabetes and such things, so we have to take this very serious. You know, unfortunately, one of the only weapons we have is education, and hope that people hear our words and adhere to them. You know, we would like to prefer to be in a situation where, you know, we can enforce our own, but unfortunately, we're not, as community, we don't have that ability. So we got to reach out through social media, and any other means to send the message out that for everyone to do their part. There's going to come a time when no level of government is going to have any effect, and that it's going to be up to the families. And the thing that's going to save is isolation and making sure you have absolutely no outside contact with your family, with the world.
And I see communities have closed or are closed to visitors as a precaution. How is that being enforced?
Well, we're going to be meeting with the RCMP and stuff and trying to come up with a game plan. We urge people that we don't want outside visitors coming in. We you know, if that continues to be a problem, then we'll put up highway checkpoints. But, you know, at this point where we don't have anything like that organized, and we'll continue to monitor that. You know, people visiting each other, especially if they've come from the big cities and stuff like that, you know, it'll spread faster than people can think. You know, young people, they may not care, but, you know, they get it. Their immune system is strong enough, they'll probably get through it. But for the elderly and people that with diabetes and anything that's going to affect their immune, you know, those people are going to have a really tough time, and not a lot of them are going to come out of it. So it's a scary time.
And I see the federal government announced $305 million for Indigenous, Inuit, and Métis people. And I see you say it's not nearly enough. What do you feel would be enough?
$305 million for over, you know, we have over 600 First Nations across Canada. I think $305 million doesn't even scratch the surface here. You know, and government has also announced $82 billion, you know, as First Nation people, were 4.8% of the population in Canada. $305 million is not 4.8% of $82 billion. So that's concerning. Like I said, we need medication. We need medical supplies. We need, you know, if our members start getting sick, you know, we have nowhere to place them. You know, so, you know, you have three generations living in a house, which is very common in our community. You know, we have, you know, average 15 to 20 people living in per home. You know, so how are you going to deal with this? We need to bring in medical trailers so we can isolate people that get infected and all of that kind of stuff. So 305 million is might sound like a lot, but if you break that down community to community to community and what the community actually needs to battle this in a healthy, aggressive way, it isn't nearly enough. And on top of that, you have community members that are all, you know, demanding that that we just write them a check. You know, so you do that, then you don't buy supplies for your elders that are going to need it. So some communities are opting to go that route. They choose not to deal with the continued harassment. I think that's probably one of the downfalls through all this. People are all looking at having a quick cash influx into their, and off-reserve people are very aggressive in terms of wanting to get paid out. So it's the sad reality that we're in.
And I see in the release, some members are drawing on traditions, songs, language, and medicine. Are you seeing that yourself, or are you doing that?
I think people have to draw on anything to battle this. Like we're it hasn't hit Williams Lake yet. You know, this isn't over. We're a long ways from being over. And if people are going to use our Indian medicines to strengthen them, their immune system and health and all that, by all means, if they got any other remedies from any other part of the world that they feel is going to help, then by all means, anything that's going to help combat this is more than welcome.
And as chief yourself, what measures are you taking to stay safe?
If I have to step out of the house, you know, I make sure that I wash my hands. I have nose cleaning solution to spray my nose. I wash my hands. I got wipes. If I have to use a bank card anywhere, I wipe my bank card down. I wash my steering wheel down. I wash my hands down. I get home. And, you know, all my clothes goes in the laundry. I jump in the shower. You know, I gargle with mouthwash or anything to, you know, and limit the number of people you see. If I could, I would just stay home all day, every day, and be happy not seeing anyone. But there's demands and stuff like that, so occasionally I do have to go out. And maybe I'll buy a full face plastic shield for if I have to go out again in the future. And I also wear gloves. I also bought a can of Lysol, so whenever I do get home, I spray my gloves down with Lysol, and I spray my shoes with Lysol on the outside. So if I'm carrying anything on that, then I often will leave my shoes outside so I don't bring that into the home.
And last question I had for you, I know there's been some discussion of safe water and access to water. Is that at all proving to be an issue?
At this point, I'm not too sure if that hasn't come to my plate or table. Nobody's complained about that as of yet, so I'm not sure if that's an issue or not.
I guess those were all the questions I had for you. Anything you'd like to add before I let you go?
Yeah, I think we've also been advocating we want to see, during times like this, liquor stores should be curtailed. You know, my experience in my community in the 2017 fires, you know, that became a huge problem. And, you know, stressful times like this, people buying alcohol, throwing parties. One of the biggest issues we have right now, and we'll be talking with the RCMP today, is house parties and stuff like that. And, you know, there's segment within our population that doesn't want to listen. So, buying alcohol and having, people sharing their drinks with each other and stuff like that, that's a huge concern that we have. So we're requesting and calling for provincial government to shut down liquor sales at the Alexis Creek location. And I think we have to really keep pushing for that. And I think the other final thing that I would warn First Nation communities all throughout Canada, we have EMBC and ISC or INAC that are supposedly managing emergency funds for First Nations. And again, I see their guidelines and all of that. And I would just warn First Nations to be very, very cautious when dealing with these people. They are and have the mandate to manage emergency funding for First Nation people, but they're also being very vague and not providing full details and are very elusive about policies and what we're mandated to get reimbursed on. So if we spend anything on, at the end of the day, a lot of that's going to be denied. They'll have their policy down right after this crisis is over, but they sure hell ain't sharing it right now. And they did that with my community in the 2017 fires, and they still owe my community $721,000 from 2017. Things that they had promised they were going to reimburse us on, and 3 years later we're still wrestling with them, and keep pushing to turn this into a legal issue, but it hasn't. So as of right now, EMBC and INAC continue to make promises they have no intention of keeping.